We go to Audrey Carvel, who's on the border in the northwest this morning. Good morning, Audrey.
Good morning, Brian. You're very welcome to the border. I'm at Bridge End in what I believe is Ireland's most beautiful county, Donegal. I'm facing the Donegal Hills here this morning. And as I stand here on this straight stretch of road on the border, to my right is Cosh Quinn in Derry. And you might know it, it's a notorious name in many ways, because for many years, for many decades, it was a heavily fortified British Army checkpoint that dominated this stretch of road. There's a disused customs building, it's up the road as well, just close to it, with a sign saying offices to rent. But the border is invisible. People cross it several times a day to go to work, to go to college, to school, to the doctor, to the shops. People's lives here are so intertwined, the border for them is largely irrelevant. So the prospect of a return to any type of border, hard or soft, well, it fills them with anger, dread, and for many, it fills them with fear. I'm going to be talking to two young women, two students, about how they feel about Brexit in just a few moments. But first, to illustrate just how people along the border live and work every day, I went to visit a farmer. I crossed the border twice in the 1.5 kilometre distance to get there.
Look at all my folders. Northern Ireland. That's stuff from the VAT number in the state. Northern VAT number.
Davy Crockett is working at his desk. The drawers are labelled NI Cattle, ROI Cattle. Davy's farm is partitioned.
We're standing in the north. We're standing in Britain, and that's the Republic of Ireland back there. So that's how close we are here to it. We have 3/4 of our land is in the Republic now, and the other 1/4 is in here. From March last year, we transferred some of the tractors across the border to have them out over there, and we paid the VAT on them and took them out just to be prepared for Brexit. But now we don't know. But we are prepared for Brexit now. If Brexit comes tomorrow, well, we just have everything separate, so that's the way it is. We're prepared for it. Maybe everybody else isn't, but we are.
Your family has been here for a long time. I think your grandfather bought it in 1911.
Yeah.
What was that story he told about the policeman and when partition happened?
Well, the policeman, he went to bring the cattle out of this field here. And there were policemen at that time, the customs weren't set up. And he was bringing the cows in the morning. And the policeman told him, that's the last day you do that. And that's the same way yet. We can't bring cattle from that and to here. No matter what your Taoiseach says, you know, about no restrictions on the border, there is, you know, that's the way we've always worked. Like, if I want to bring them from there to here, I take them to Rafoe, which is about 15-20 miles from here. They're inspected by the department. I pay them maybe £10 a head to look at them, bring them on here. Then if I take them down to the meat plant, they say, oh, they're from the Republic of Ireland, we'll give you 20 pence a kilo for them. So I don't do it.
The ancient hill fort of Grianan an Aileach is very close by. It's above us. Below us is Cosh Quinn. In the days of the Troubles, there was a British Army checkpoint, a fairly big one there. What was it like living here then, Davy?
I grew up here. There were Army here every day of the week. But that was the norm for us. When we were going to school, you know, you went down in the morning and went through the Army checkpoint and got the bus.
Didn't you find IRA shells at the bottom of the garden?
Well, when we were going to school in the morning, they were shooting at the bottom of the lane, and we lifted the shells in the morning and took them in and sold them to the girls to make bracelets and all out of them. So I was an entrepreneur from a very early age.
So, Davy, when you hear talk of the return of a border, the return of a hard border in a no-deal Brexit, what do you think?
It's not going to happen. Britain and Ireland are going to come to a deal, simply because it's all down to money. Britain can't live without Ireland, and Ireland can't live without Britain.
What did you think of Brexit? Because you voted to remain.
I voted to remain. It was England voted us out, and it was all down to immigration.
I can't not mention your name.
Yeah.
You are a descendant of the famous frontiersman, Davy Crockett. Do you feel like you're taking on his mantle now at this point?
No, definitely not. Definitely not, no.
So Brexit isn't your Alamo?
No, nor do I want it to be, for it didn't work out so well for Davy Crockett.
It certainly did not. The wonderfully named Davy Crockett, thanks to him for talking to me yesterday. Well, I've moved inside to the warmth and the lovely smells of breakfast being cooked by the staff of Doherty's Cafe here at Bridge End. It's a small village. You'll go through it if you're heading to Letterkenny or Buncrana from Derry. It has a pretty thriving business life. There's the Beaver Company, who is making log cabins beside us. There's Devlin's Memorials across the way. And there's the aptly named Frontier Hotel, where we've been staying for our trip here. I'm delighted to say that on our programme this morning here from Bridge End, we have no politicians or no pundits with us. We are just talking to real people, as we call them. And joining us for a chat this morning are two 17-year-olds, Tegan Nesbitt, who is doing her A-levels at Foyle College this year, and Niamh McDermott, who did her Leaving Cert in June. She has just started a journalism and creative writing course at Northwest College in Derry. You're both very welcome indeed. So let's talk Brexit, Tegan. How much does Brexit occupy your thoughts?
Well, the last time I was speaking to you, Audrey, I told you that it was a really, really big occupier of my thoughts, and now absolutely more than ever. I'm a politics student and I do it for A-level, so therefore I now have to look at this in the news before I even start class every single morning. Now, this just isn't normal. Why is something that's going on just that's out of my control now has become part of my own curriculum in school, something that I have to look at in the morning? So of course preoccupies my thoughts probably more than any other political issue at the moment.
Niamh, how has it influenced what you're planning to do with your life?
It's influenced it massively. It's almost fearing me as if it's putting a stop to it, as in I want to go to the UK to finish my studies. I'm currently in Derry doing my studies. Is it going to tell me now I can't? I'm not able to go into Derry. Is it going to put like a delay in it? Am I going to struggle to get to college every morning, which I'm doing, crossing the border twice to go to college, to come back from college just to go home? And this is going to put a stop for me being delayed to go home to my work in Donegal to go to my college. It's not fair, and it's just so frustrating as well.
Tegan, what is your biggest fear about Brexit?
I fear that if I have to go over the border, that I am going to be greeted by people who are going to try and stop me. I'd say that is probably a really, really big fear.
Another You're talking big, about checkpoints.
Yeah, checkpoints. Mm. Really, really. As already we found out this morning about the custom outposts, they just want an alternative to a backstop. They just don't want Northern Ireland to be in a single market. And that's really, really frustrating for someone who has to then grow up in a world of just a country that wants control so much so over another. And a really, really big fear that I also have is for my own university degree. I initially wanted to go abroad to study, and I wanted to go and study languages, and I had to completely change my career path because of an outside source, Brexit. I don't want to have to get a visa for travelling around to maybe if I have to go and take a year out and do a placement year, let's say in Spain, if I was doing a languages course. I've now decided to completely drop languages and now study a different course for my A-levels. Now, this is something that has been affected by Brexit. I just don't think it's fair at all, as Niamh said. It's just not fair.
Niamh, you're in the first year of your college course, and as you say, you hope to go on and further develop that in the UK. Do you think, if it's a no-deal Brexit, could you come back here to this part of this island, this northwest, this beautiful part of Ireland? Can you see yourself coming back here? Will the opportunities be here for you?
I mean, yes, there's opportunities here, but then at the same time, as you're saying, Audrey, am I supposed to put something that I want on hold because of something that's out of my control, like Tegan says, Brexit? Am I unable to do what I want, unable to go to college, to follow my dreams as such? I mean, you're told, like, follow your dreams, and maybe something's to stop that, and now Brexit's to stop that. It's just ridiculous. It's really ridiculous. Like, the opportunities here are amazing, but if I want to broaden my career, if I want to do what I want to do, if I want to see the opportunities, go to Media City. I mean, the name's in it, Media City. But now that's put on hold, it's put back, it's stopped. It's really ridiculous, and it's frustrating because I don't know what to do. I need clarity, and I'm kind of struggling. I'm nervous for next year. My nerves should be moving away from home for raising money, for going, living on my own, not Brexit, and if I can actually go. I mean, last year, my worries should have been what I'm going to get in my results. I done well in my results. I got where I wanted, and now it's gone back to the fear of, can I go again? Is it Brexit stopping me?
And Tegan, you're 17. 3 years ago, you were 14. I mean, you didn't get a vote in the referendum.
No.
Do you want a vote?
Oh, of course. If there was a second referendum to come, which I know was really, really slim chance, but let's say a second referendum did come and I was still only 17, if I didn't get a vote in that referendum where I perhaps might have more knowledge than an entire majority of people on something that I've studied day in, day out, I'm a politics student. I just don't think that something like that's fair, that an age can define where your maturity lies or your knowledge on a subject. I think that something needs to be introduced that can get us as 16-year-olds plus a vote.
And Eve, of course, people in the Republic, people in Donegal, so close to the border, so affected by everything, didn't get a vote and won't get a vote at all.
And, I mean, it affects us just as much. It's affecting me just as much as it's affecting Tegan. I mean, Tegan maybe can stay in college. She can go to college in Derry in the UK, where I'm putting a stop to it when we're the same age. We're interested in the same things. And I'm just not seeing how this is fair when we're 17-year-old girls. We're all human.
Yeah. And the world should be your oyster.
Exactly.
Well, look, thank you both. We really appreciate you coming to talk to us here in Bridgend on Morning Ireland this morning. Lots more from here in the next hour, but now it's back to the studio.
Thank you very much, Audrey, and throughout the day online, here on radio, on television and on social media, RTE programmes and journalists will have special reports on all things Brexit. Speaking of which, just one line of reaction in from the British Prime Minister Boris Johnson to Tony Connolly's story, the story we were talking about earlier. He has said that the EU and Dublin are not talking about the proposals we are going to present. That line just in. More to follow, no doubt.